So I'm very pleased to start one of two lectures on Chanukah. And I decided to present two topics. One is today to talk about the miracle of Chanukah and the kingdom of the Chasmonaim in the teaching of Maimonides. That's actually a shiur in a lecture on Maimonides' teaching, which gives a lot of very interesting light on Chanukah according to Rambam. It is from the rabbinic literature. The next shiur will be on Zechariah, one of the 12 minor prophets, where there is the Chanukiah. We say it as a haftarah, so that's a biblical study. It is very soon the Yahrzeit of Rambam, and every opportunity to talk about the Rambam is a good opportunity to learn about him and his wonderful teaching. The analysis is based both on the outstanding research, the book by Professor Yaakov Blitzstein, Zichrono Livracha, an American researcher who lived in Be'er Sheva, passed away a few years ago, and he was an outstanding researcher in Maimonides and wrote many books. He got the Prize of Israel, and I learned a lot from him. I had the honor to meet him in person and discuss with him several times. It was a pleasure to see his research, his expertise, and his very, very fine personality. So that is analysis, which I heard the first time by Rav Amital, my teacher, Rosh Yeshiva, Zichrono Livracha, and it is really an eye-opener how the rabbinical literature, Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Maimonides, as I will show in a moment, there is a lot to learn. I published that in Hebrew, so those who are interested to get the paper in Hebrew should get it by email if you want to email me, or we'll find a way to put it online very soon. It will be on the tefillah.org website. In order to warm up, I would like to give you an example. What I want to show in the lecture is that the Babylonian Talmud had a typical analysis and presentation of the miracle of Chanukah, which fits the Babylonian environment, mentality, and way of thinking. The source which we have in Alanisim, it's not from the Yerushalmi Talmud. It is from Masechet Sofrim, which is a source from Eretz Yisrael, shortly after the editing of the Talmud, of the Gemara. And it reflects very typically an Israeli or Eretz Yisrael attitude. And afterwards, we come to Maimonides, which reflects very much Maimonides' thinking. And I want to show that is the beauty of rabbinic literature, many colors, many attitudes, the same sources, but a slightly different way to look at it. And it's very interesting to see how everybody read it in Babylon, in Eretz Yisrael, Maimonides. He found a lot of meaning and messages for Chanukah for himself. And if you read Leon Uris on Mila 18, there is a very, very powerful section where they celebrate Chanukah in the shelter in Warsaw. Whether the story is true or not is not the discussion now, but it gives a wonderful insight. When they were lighting the Chanukah lights, it was the war, the independence, and the spirit of fighting against enemies. So everybody had a special message. I want to show you a beautiful explanation by Sfat Emet, and he gives a little explanation which is typically a beautiful Hasidic message. The Gemara says Ner Chanukah mitzvah lehanicha al petach beito mibachutz im hayadar ba'aliyah manicha b'chalon asmucha l'rashut rabim uvishat sakana menicha al shulchano v'dayo. So the teaching is the mitzvah is to place the Chanukah lamp at the entrance to the home, to the house. And in time of a danger, when the Gentiles issued decrees to prohibit kindling the lights, and that was probably the background in Babylon, where the light and the worship of the light blocked the Jews to put their Nes Chanukah in front of the home. The Gemara says he places it on the table, and that is sufficient to fulfill his obligation. Manichal shulchano v'dayo. The Sfat Emet brings a very powerful explanation. Imagine a table, a tish of Hasidim, 300 Hasidim in one big room, and you can see it actually, this building is survived in Gura, next to Warsaw, 100 kilometers from there, where the Gera Hasidim lived. And imagine 300 Jews lived there, surrounded by not a very pleasant and friendly environment. If there is a danger, you put it on your table, and that is enough. What's the Hasidic explanation? You put it on the table. You need a Hasidic tish. We need to sit all around together, 300 people, and to sing and to have a lechaim and to hear wonderful divrei Torah. That is a beautiful explanation. He quotes Tehillim because it says in Tehillim, Taroch lefanai shulchan neged tzorerai. You should prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies or against my enemies. Neged can also be contra, vis-a-vis, but that is the response how we can survive despite a hostile environment. That is a beautiful, wonderful, personal Hasidic explanation how to strengthen the Hasidic tish. So whether that was the intention of the Gemara or not is not the discussion, but it's a beautiful example that they found messages in the rabbinical text. And that was just a warm up to give a little bit an idea what I want to do now. What I want to do is I want to take the text in the Talmud, Gemara. The Talmud is normally the Babylonian Talmud. And there is a very short section in Shabbat, Daf Kaf Aleph. We will read it together. And that is in the Babylonian exile. It's at the time when the Romans came to Palestine, to Eretz Israel, and destroyed everything, and the vast majority of the Jewish people, those who survived, got to Babylon, and in the 4th, 5th century, the Talmud was written. In Al HaNisim, which is actually the text which we read in our prayer book, Tfilat Amidah Ben Modim Darabanan, we have the text which appeared first in Masechet Sofrim. After the final editing, or at the end of the final editing, 6 different units of rabbinical writing, Masechtot HaKtanot, the small collections, actually the first codification of Halacha, were written. One is Sofrim, dealing with Sidur, with the prayer book, reading the Torah, and various mitzvot related to the Chagim and reading Jewish prayer, and many others about Giyur, about Sefer Torah, and so on. So there we have a text. What should we read? It's written in Hebrew, and these two texts are not identical at all. They are both known, one from the prayer book, one the classical source on Chanukah in the Talmud Bavli, and it's interesting to compare them. You see like two eyes, a different angle, and you get a very interesting analysis. That's actually a field which is great, fascinating research, and there are a lot of people in Israel and outside who were dealing with what's the difference between the approach of the two sources in Eretz Yisrael and in Babylon. I would like to give you a taste of an insight into that. Maimonides, who lived in the 12th century, he combines these texts and he uses other texts. And in the close reading of his text, we need first to read the Babylonian Talmud, Al HaNisim, and afterwards the third by Rambam. And we see a brilliant mind who knew how to integrate and combine these two sources, but furthermore, who added a lot of his own teaching. And if we don't analyze it with a microscope, we will not identify Maimonides, the great teacher of Jewish history and philosopher, how to look on Jewish history. So that's quite an interesting challenge. As I said, Rav Yehuda Amital was the first who showed me, who presented that once. And I had the honor to discuss the paper, which I wrote in Hebrew with him. And a lot of beautiful memories of Rav Amital come up when I present you these sources. That's the source sheet, which is in Hebrew. I apologize. It was hard to translate all of it. But let me show you in Hebrew, even if you're not familiar, not comfortable with the Hebrew, what I did, and I will present it in a moment with the translation. That's the Gemara. The typical sources in red are from the Talmud Bavli. And the green is what all have in common. What is the miracle? What's the historical background? What was the stress? What was the need? What is the victory? What is the role of the priests? And we compare that one source, the second source. Blue is typically Eretz Yisrael, the typical sources. The same word which appear in both is green. They have it in common. And we have and again, the analysis of these six criteria, and we have Maimonides. So it is, I tried, I hope, a very methodological analogy. Compare three different angles. And that makes it very, very interesting. I would like now to ask you, Ruth Shane, to please read the text. Allow me to read it first in Hebrew. I need it for my own well-being, so you have time to read at it. The Gemara is well known. And it asked, a Gemara asked, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? Tanu Rabbanan bekavhei betislev, yomei dechanukah tamanya inun, dolo lemispet behon velo dehitanot behon. שכשנכנסו יוונים להיכל, טימאו כל השמנים שבהיכל. וכשגברה מלכות בית חשמונאי וניצחום, בדקו ולא מצאו אלא פח אחד של שמן, שהיה מונח בחותמו של כהן גדול, ולא היה בו אלא להדליק יום אחד. נעשה בו נס! והדליקו ממנו שמונה ימים, ושנה אחרת כבאום ואסמום ימים טובים בהלל והודאה. Is it okay, Ruth, please, to read it?
Mm-hmm. The Gemara asks, what is Chanukah, and why are lights kindled on Chanukah? The Gemara answers, the sages taught in Megillat Ta'anit, on the 25th of Kislev, the days of Chanukah are eight. One may not eulogize on them, one may not fast on them. What is the reason? When the Greeks entered the sanctuary, they defiled all the oils that were in the sanctuary by touching them. And when the Hashmonaim monarchy overcame them and emerged victorious over them, they searched and found only one cruse of oil that was placed with the seal of the high priest, undisturbed by the Greeks. And there was sufficient oil there to light the candelabrum for only one day. A miracle occurred, and they lit the candelabrum from it 8 days. The next year, the sages instituted those days and made them holidays, with recitation of Hallel and special thanksgiving and prayer and blessings.
Thank you very much. That sounded much better than my English. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you. So what is the, let's look at the Gemara. And I'm not asking, I don't want to go in too much details, but I ask a simple question. Everybody celebrates Hanukkah. The Gemara has no, for every other festival, Pesach, not Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Purim. We have a whole Masechet. And on Chanukah, oh, there are two pages in the Gemara. And the opening of the discussion is, what's actually Chanukah? Did the Babylonian sages not know what Chanukah is? Hello? Every soldier in Israel knows that there are celebrations at the Kotel, on Masada. Every child in the kindergarten knows to dance with the lights. And nobody knows what Chanukah is. What is Chanukah? The question, what is Chanukah, puts a very, to talk about lights, a very dark light on Chanukah. Don't people know what Chanukah is? Hello? Okay, now we learn, halachically, you're not allowed to have a eulogy and not to fast. Why? And now we have to read it in a flow. When the Greek came to the Heichal and there were no oils found, and afterwards the kingdom of the Hashmona of Beit Hashmonaim, they were successful in a victory, and they couldn't find oil. Oh, there was only one little cruse of oil with the seal of the high priest. The seal of the high priest. The high priest has a very, very clear job. His job is to give the Hechshel. He is the OU guy. Okay? The Kohen HaGadol, His job is given to you. It's kosher. You have a stamp of the Kohen Gadol. A stamp for Hechsher without the Kohen Gadol. Not from my table. Not from my kitchen. Okay, it had one. And you didn't want any other oil because we trust the high priest who gives the right OU. By doing so, we know what oil we can use, but it was only for one day. Now it says, and the miracle occurred. So whatever happened before was not a miracle. It was just a war. The Greek and the Hashmonaim, and they were oppressed, and they were in terrible historical, political, religious distress. No. That's not the miracle. The miracle is they found one little unit, cruse of oil, and that worked. I summarize that here in the five criteria. The Kohen Gadol has a job, a little bottle of oil, the cruse of oil, and it had to OU. Oh, it worked. It was only the volume, the quantity for one day. Here the miracle starts. Whatever happened before is just context. But it's not the miracle. It's normal. It's not worthy to be mentioned. So what is the miracle? The oil, which was one day for 8 days. Brackets. Why, if there was one day that they found it, but it was enough for 8 days, we should celebrate only 7 days. That's a famous question. Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo has 10 explanations for that, which I will not elaborate now. Very interesting. Classical rabbinical, a sharp mind. He put it in 8 units, and every 12.5% for one day was enough for a whole day, and many, many other explanations. What's the historical background? The historical background is the light. And Rashi actually explains that the miracle was that the Jews were not allowed to light the candle because the light is the worship in Babylon for idolatry. And if they do it, it's very dangerous. We just spoke about it when I presented the Hasidic explanation before. You don't touch light at night. You sit in the darkness. You want to touch light at night? You better accept our God. If you don't, you're a dead body because it's dangerous. That makes sense. And that was in some time, period of time, that was the background. What was really the victory? The victory appears here. Kishagavra malchut beit hashmonaim, where the Hasmonean monarchy overcame them. Yes, we know they overcame them, but it's not the issue. It's not the focus of the miracle. It's the introduction to the miracle. And what's the job of the Kohen? We spoke about that. That is the first source. Very galuti. Very much the diaspora mentality. It reflects what I said. No fights. Nobody in the diaspora has an army, has independence. And whatever happened on the military-wise is not the issue. It's just some kind of an introduction. Without it, the miracle will not be explained. Here we have the next miracle. As I said, Ala Nisim, and I brought here the Nosach Ashkenaz, which is a Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim, there is a lot of research done on the small Masechtot. You find them in the Gemara at the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah, the Horayot. And there it is, there it has these sugyot, a lot of difficulties with the manuscript. It seems that they were used very often for practical reasons, as I said, the first codification. I will read now the Hebrew text, which you are familiar with. Small changes in the source in Ala Nisim is good enough for our analysis now. And I would like to ask you afterwards, Ruth, to read it in proper English. Ala Nisim, v'ala purkan, v'ala gvurot, v'ala tshuot, v'ala milchamot she'asita la'avoteinu bayamim ahem bazman hazeh. בימי מתתיהו בן יוחנן, כהן גדול, חשמונאי ובניו. כשעמדה מלכות יוון הרשעה על עמך ישראל להשכיחם תורתך ולהעבירם מחוקי רצונך. ואתה, ברחמך הרבים, עמדתם להם בעת צרתם. רפת את ריבם, דנת את דינם, נקמת את נקמתם. מסרת גיבורים ביד חלשים, ורבים ביד מעטים, וטמאים ביד טהורים ורשעים ביד צדיקים וזידים ביד עוסקי תורתך. ולך עשית שם גדול וקדוש בעולמך, ולעמך ישראל עשית תשועה גדולה ופורקן כהיום הזה. ואחר כן באו בניך לדביר ביתך, ופינו את היכליך ותיארו את מקדשך, והדליקו נרות בחצרות קודשך, וקבעו שמונת ימי חנוכה אלו להודות ולהלל לשמך הגדול. Please, Ruth.
Okay. We thank you for the miracles, for the redemption, for the mighty deeds, for the deliverances, for the wonders of, for the consolations, and for the wars that you performed for our fathers in those days at this season. In the days of Matityahu, son of Yochanan the high priest, Hashmonaim and his sons, when the evil Greek kingdom rose up against your people Israel to make them forget your Torah and to turn them away from the statutes of your will, you, in your abundant mercy, stood by them in their time of distress. You defended their cause. You judged their grievances. You avenged them. You delivered the strong into the hands of the weak, many into the hands of the few, defiled people into the hands of the undefiled, the wicked into the hands of the righteous, and insolent sinners into the hands of diligent students of your Torah. And you made yourself a great and sanctified name in your world. And for your people Israel, you performed a great deliverance and redemption unto this very day. Afterwards, your sons entered the Holy of Holies of your house, cleansed your temple, purified your sanctuary, and kindled lights in the courtyards of your sanctuary, and designated these 8 days of Hanukkah to thank and praise your great name.
Thank you very much. So what do we have here? I look at the same criteria. What's the miracle? The miracle is on the battlefield. It's the army. It's the amazing power of the Greek army, which if we read the Sefer HaMakkabim, the book of the Maccabean, we have their testimonials exactly what happened where. And we live here in Gush Etzion, one of the Yeshuvim is named Elazar. That is where Elazar was killed. And every child knows Elazar is called Elazar because one of the sons is killed. I'm saying that because Hashmonaim, they have a face, they have a name, they have sons, exactly as in the book of the Hashmonaim, where the wars are described. And what is the miracle? To start with, we thank you for the miracles. What are the miracles of redemption politically in the army? For all the deliverance and all the wonders of the consolation and the wars that you performed for our fathers. It's on the battlefield. That is what happened. And there was a Kohen HaGadol, he and his children, they were leaders. And they were fighting against the Greek. Please pay attention. The way Masechet Sofrim, the Israeli source, described the period is, the period is described not by the Greek nation, who came to Eretz Israel and did whatever they tried to do. It is in the days of Matityahu ben Yochanan. The Kohen HaGadol writes history. He defines the historical period, he and his son. And whatever the enemies did, they tried and failed. But who was giving actually the characterization, the feature of the generation is Kohen Gadol, Hashmonai, Uvanav. And the enemies, they tried, but they failed. And who is the hero of whatever happened in between? Who is the hero of these battles? It is you, God, in your mercy. You stood up. Please pay attention how beautiful it is that Kesha'amda Malchut Yavan Harsha'a, when the Greek kingdom rose up. But you, Ve'ata Barachamecha Harabim, you stood up by them. It's the same word. One is the enemies, they came against us, and one is you came and you stood up for us. We have the same in Vehisha Amda, פסח הגדם, והיא שעמדה לאבותינו, שלא אחד בלבד עמדו עלינו לחלותינו. A conflict between God, the Torah, and the enemies. Who made the change? Who brought the victory? You. And in Hebrew it says just rafta et ribam, danta et dinam, nakamta et nikmasam, masarta. In English it's emphasized, you did it. You defended there, you judged them, you did it. Just to emphasize, it's all about Hashem. What you did was your victory. The victory was all yours. Of even more that. Oskei Toratecha, yes. Zeidim, Biyad Oskei Toratecha, those who respect the Torah and do not respect them, it happened that you did it, that the Oskei Toratecha, people who are dealing with the Torah, the students of your Torah, it happened that the wicked people fell in their hands. They were not fighting. God was fighting. The whole credit goes to God. And we did nothing. We were just the minority. We were the weak ones. We were the tohorim. But we didn't do anything. Ata berachamecha rabim. You did it all. And that is the miracle. You brought yourself a great name. And for the Jewish people, you brought a teshuah ufurkan kahayom hazeh, a great deliverance and redemption unto this very day. And that's the topic, deliverance and redemption, teshuah ufurkan. That's what we say at the beginning. Al hanisim v'al hapurkan, v'al hagvurot v'al hatshuot. It's all about power on the battlefield, military strength. That is what's the focus in Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim has something to add. Afterwards, we shouldn't forget that. After the big miracle, which was the Tshuah and the Fulkam, that was the deliverance and the redemption and the miracle. Later on, they came in your home, in your temple. Your sons entered the Holy of Holies of your house. Cleansed your temple and purified the sanctuary. And yes, and they had candlelights 8 days. Why 8 days? Why not one day? I have no clue. I don't know why. And according to the Bavli, there is a whole technique for 8 days. It takes time, the explanation says. But here it was 8 days. In the Sefer Choshmarim, it says 8 days because they missed Sukkot. So since Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah Rabbah and Shmini Atzeret is 8 days, it's 8 days. It's not because of the candle. It's not because of the cruse of oil. Not at all. And that is only a marginal addendum to the real, real miracle, which is the battle fight. So we can take all these words, and I invite you, of course, my greatest pleasure is if people tell me that they heard a lecture and used the handouts and they thought it over and discussed it with friends and with students and were teaching it. That's my greatest hana'a, pleasure. So I invite you to do that. It's obviously, we have no clue why 8 days. The 8 days are not the miracle. The 8 days appear afterwards. The miracle is described and presented, but there was an afterplay. And look at that. I brought it with the pictures. Here we see the fights, however you want to present it. And there are a lot of very interesting historical and military descriptions that you can walk today in Israel. And on Hanukkah, you see where it happened, in Chashmonaim, in different places, Modi'in. There are a lot of caves where you can find. There are coins from the Chashmonaim time. It's a very, very interesting period in Jewish history. It's on the ground, on the battlefield, where it happens. But the oil and the OU is not mentioned. Why not? One doesn't need to be a big historian to understand it. What's of interest for Eretz Yisrael is the independence. The fight, were we killed or did we survive? Were we the victims of the Greek or could we survive? That's all. Oh, the temple had continued to function afterwards. It's true. V'achaken afterwards. But the main miracle is that if you think today about Jewish identity in Israel and in Chutz La'aretz, I grew up in Chutz La'aretz, One of the main issues is it kosher or not? Which Hechsher is it? And if you have two communities, you are in the middle of Jewish identity. You fight about the Hechsher. That's the topic. Does anybody talk in Chutz La'aretz about Jewish identity? Yes, Mordechai Yanilevich did. And he was, according to Leon Uris, he was lighting up a Chanukah lights. But nobody in Chutz La'aretz walks around with a weapon, with an army. You better don't. But in Eretz Yisrael, you do. Al HaNisim celebrates another miracle. The Babylonian Talmud has another ritual-based miracle. The Kohen HaGadol, his job is the OU in the Babylonian exile. And in Eretz Yisrael, he is leading the war. He is leading the kingdom. And according to that, it happened that in one day or in one generation, at the period of the Chashmonaim and Chanukah, there was a major conflict on the battlefield. And look at that, it happened that God did a great miracle to us. With a lot of modesty, we didn't do anything. The five sons had big armies, and the Kohen HaGadol was leading it. Look at the Sefer HaMakkabim, the book of the Maccabees, a very detailed description, but the Babylonian Talmud didn't like it. Why didn't they like it? Because who is talking about war and my power and my leadership on the battlefield? You better sit down and pray. That's the religious attitude in the Babylonian Talmud. And here, yes, the battlefield is amazing. And we know that the Chashmonaim, they were fighting. But everything is dedicated and is respectfully associated to God's mercy, to God's help. Ata amadeta, you stood up and saved us from these tzarot. That is the two sources. I think that's interesting enough as a comparison. And those who read Hebrew, I have on my website on Tfilah an analysis of Modim Darabanan, what we say in the one of the brachot at the end of the Shmoneh Esrei, the third from the last one. There are two versions of Bavli and Yerushalmi. I have their other sources to compare, the Babylonian and the Talmud from Jerusalem, from Eretz Yisrael. It is classic how to compare it. And that's really a fascinating research. I was not trained in the yeshiva to compare Bavli and Yerushalmi, the Babylonian and the Eretz Yisrael Talmud. It's a masterpiece of research of one midrash with differences, and there is a lot to say about it. There is a group in Israel where I had the honor to be part of who are studying the Yerushalmi. And when I present, I always compare a classical text in both collections of the Babylonian and the Eretz Yisrael Gemara. And the insights are a masterpiece. I want to refer to Jeffrey Rubinstein, who wrote beautiful analysis of Midrashim. And very often he compares the Bavli to Yerushalmi in English with a wonderful research, scientific analysis. So far, Al HaNisim. And now we talk about Maimonides. A mastermind of Jewish history, might be the biggest cultural hero who had an amazing, allow me here to move before we talk about him. I want to show you here from my publication I had in here's the source. That's the source of the publication. It is Maimonides, Rabbi, Physician, and Philosopher and Image, Israel Medical Association Journal. It is online. It is available online. And that's his life. He lived at the time, was born in Cordoba. Sorry, I couldn't translate it. I didn't translate it. Had two escapes with the after the Almohads conquered Spain, had to escape to Fez, Morocco, and his teacher, who was a student of Rif Alfasi, Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi, he was killed, and they had to escape from there. They fled to Eretz Israel just when the Crusaders arrived, were there. It wasn't funny. It wasn't a good condition for the Jews these days. He was there for 6 months. And the family celebrated the day they came to Eretz Yisrael all their life, his father and Rambam himself. But after 6 months, they had to leave Eretz Yisrael and move to Fostat in Kahir, where they lived, where he lived and wrote and was active all his life. He knew exactly what it means to escape from Christians in Spain and the Almohads who conquered. He knew exactly what political stress is, much more than Baruch Hashem we know in our generation. He came to Eretz Yisrael and the Christians were there. It was not possible to survive there. So he lived in Kahir and he wrote the famous letter, Igeret Teiman, the letter to Teiman, Yemen, where Jews had to convert, were forced to convert to the Islam, a masterpiece of rabbinic writing. So he knew exactly what it means, historical stress and political. So that is the way I summarized it, his writing in the rabbinical writings, philosophical writings, and how it fits together. It's a very interesting view on Rambam. What we do now is we look at a very small source with very close readings. I have on this slide here only his text, but of course we have to compare it, and you will remember what we learned from the Bavli, from the Babylonian Talmud. Where did he take his sources? He didn't work with a website, not with a computer, and not with a search system. It was his brilliant mind who combined all these sources, and look what he took from where. I will read now the three halachot, focusing on the first one, and you will see right away, oh, that sounds familiar. That is the Babylonian Talmud. The next one, oh, we just read that in Al HaNisim. There are other sources which are not mentioned in both texts, but Maimonides has them. Some of them from other rabbinical texts, which he was a master to know all the texts with words, an expression, a term, and a lot of his own writing. And now we enter the palace of Maimonides' teaching, which is incredible, and you will see how relevant these words are. So if okay with you, Ruchain, I will read it in Hebrew, and we will enjoy your English reading. בבית שני, כשמלכי יוון גזרו גזרות על ישראל וביקלו דתם, ולא הניחו אותם לעסוק בתורה ובמצוות, ופשטו ידם בממונם ובבנותיהם, ונכנסו להיכל ופרצו בו פרצות, וטימאו הטהורות, וצר להם לישראל מאוד מפניהם, ולחצום לחץ גדול. עד שריחם עליהם אלוקי אבותינו, והושיעם מידם, והצילם. וגברו בני חשמונאי הכהנים הגדולים, והרגום והושיעו ישראל מידם. והעמידו מלך מן הכהנים, וחזרה מלכות לישראל יתר על 200 שנים עד החורבן השני. וכשגברו ישראל על אויביהם ואיבדום, בחמישה ועשרים בחודש כסלף היה. ונכנסו להיכל, ולא מצאו שמן טהור, אלא פח אחד, ולא היה בו להדליק, אלא יום אחד בלבד. והדליקו ממנו נרות המערכה 8 ימים, עד שקדשו הזיתים, והוציאו שמן טהור. ומפני זה התקינו חכמים שבאותו הדור, שהיו 8 הימים האלה, שתחילתם מליל 25 בכסלו, ימי שמחה והלל, ומדליקים בהם הנרות בערב על פתחי הבתים, בכל לילה ולילה משמונת הלילות להראות ולגלות הנס. וימים אלה הנקראים חנוכה, והן אסורים בהספד ותענית, ימי הפורים, והדלקת נרות בהם מצווה מדברי סופרים כקריאת המגילה. These are the three halachot. Please, Ruth, if you could read it. Thank you for that.
Halacha 1. During the period of the Second Temple, when the Greek kings were in power, they issued decrees against the Jewish people, attempting to nullify their faith and forbidding them to study the Torah or to its commandments. They laid their hands on their wealth and their daughters. They entered the temple and wrought havoc within, defiling the sacraments that were pure. The Jews suffered great difficulties from their enemies, who oppressed them ruthlessly until the God of our fathers had mercy upon them, saved and rescued them from the hands of the tyrants. The sons of the Chashmonaim, the high priests, overcame them, defeating the Syrian Greeks, and saved the Jews from their power. They appointed a king from among the priests, and Israel's sovereignty was restored for a period of more than 200 years, until the destruction of the Second Temple. Halacha 2. When the Jews overcame their enemies and destroyed them, they entered the sanctuary. This was on the 25th of Kislev. They could not find any pure oil in the sanctuary, with the exception of a single cruse. It contained enough oil to burn for merely one day. They lit the arrangement of candles from it for 8 days, until they could crush olives and produce pure oil. Halacha 3. Accordingly, the sages of that generation ordained that these 8 days, which begin from the 25th of Kislev, should be commemorated to be the days of happiness and praise of God. Candles should be lit in the evening at the entrance to the houses on each and every one of these 8 nights to publicize and reveal the miracle. These days are called Chanukah. It is forbidden to eulogize and fast on them, as on the days of Purim. Lighting the candles on these days is a rabbinic mitzvah, like the reading of the Megillah.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you very much.
Welcome.
So we can see easily, Halakha 3, that's obviously the Babylonian Talmud. It's actually Halakha 2 and 3. Oh, he adds a little bit of practical explanations. I don't know why 8 days when I read the Babylonian Talmud. Why not 10 days? Why not 5 days? No clue. But he says, because they had arranged the candles from it for 8 days until they could crush olives and produce pure oil, because it takes a while to get there to produce it. It's a question of the production of oil. So he gives some practical insights, which without that, we are lost. Why 8 days? But now we know better. It's actually also a commentary on the Talmud. We understand it better. There is not a lot of other changes that he brought in Halakha 2 and 3. He translates everything to Hebrew, makes it very logic. But what is nice, that the Rambam, before he talks about the Halachot of Chanukah, he gives a historical framework. And by giving a historical framework, he actually points out what's the real meaning of the miracle. It's true. There was a ness. There was a miracle. Pach Echad. He says they came to the Heichal. They couldn't find oil more than one little, for one unit, for contain enough oil to burn for only one day. 8 days. He doesn't define that as the miracle. When he talks about what happened in this generation, it's not a little oil. It was very impressive, very remarkable. But the miracle is described in Halakha 1. So let's now come back to Halakha 1. Bebayit sheni, kishemalchei Yavan gazru gzerot al Yisrael. Rambam, I think on his desk, was the book of the Maccabean, the Chashmonaim. These were gzerot. They issued decrees against the Jewish people. Oh, no Shabbat, no Brit Milah, no Kashrut, no Jewish teaching in public, nothing. And he describes it. It was forbidden la'asok b'Torah. Yes, in Al HaNisim, it is b'yad oskei Toratecha. But Al HaNisim doesn't point out that dealing this to study the Torah was forbidden, was prohibited. It happened that the wicked people fell in the hands of those who were learning. But here it says it was forbidden to learn, because it says ubitlu datam, to nullify their faith. When the Rambam writes about many halachot, he talks about the basic concept of Jewish religion. And the first book in Mishneh Torah, worthwhile to read, is Rabbi Isidore Tversky, Introduction to the Mishneh Torah. A wonderful introduction, a huge book of an outstanding scholar. English translated to Hebrew. And he says, Bikludatam, it is a basic fight, a conflict of two religions, the Jewish religion and the Hellenistic religion. Bikludatam, it's the dat, the basic religion that was at stake. It was a fight about Torah and mitzvot. And against children, their possessions, their money, on their wealth, and their daughters. They wanted to bring, to destroy the Jewish people. It was much more than on the battlefield. It was a religious agenda and a religious fight. And they did everything to nullify their faith and their wealth and their families. It was kind of an endlosum. V'nichnesu la'heichal, the came that they were came from Greek and were fighting in the Heichal, that was just the end point to destroy everything. U'partzu bo pratzot. The final sacrament is pratzot. I will not go to the sources. You have them all here in the next slide where I show which sources Rambam used. Very, very detailed in his own Mishneh Torah and other writings he has. We'll come to where that would be a more detailed analysis, but I will keep it short. The Jewish people, that generation was in terrible stress. Shirichem alehem, Elohei Avoteinu. Shirichem alehem, God, they suffered terrible until God of our Father had mercy. That's exactly the Allah Nissim. Look what he did. Rachamta alehem. Vata barachamecha arabim, you had mercy with that. Where is it? Vata barachamecha arabim, amarta alehem. And you, in your abundant mercy, you stood against them. So Rambam takes it. But what is the mercy of Hashem? It has another level of mercy, according to Maimonides' teaching. You came and you saved them. Look at the beautiful Rambam's every word, every letter is gold. And we have to have that in mind, because only if we have this respect for his wording, we will identify the wonderful finesse. V'lachatzum lachatz gadol, atchirichem alehem Elohei Avoteinu, till God of our fathers had mercy upon them. He saved and rescued them from the hands of the Germans. V'harakshnia, v'hoshiam miyadam, Elokei Avoteinu, God of our fathers. Why does he say God our fathers? He is not talking about our fathers. He is talking what happened in history. V'lachatzum lachatz gadol ad shirichem alehem. We talk about the period of the Hashmonaim. What happened to them? They suffered. And God of our, and the Jews suffered great difficulties from their enemies who oppressed them. But is God our father? It should say God their father. We're not talking about our days. Why is Rambam mixing that up? And that's exactly the message. And there's actually the first time I feel English is better than the Hebrew. If we remember the miracle, we actually remember. We connect from the beginning to history. And we are a member. We just take a membership on Jewish history by remembering it. If we remember it, that God helped at the time of the Hashmonaim, it is our father to this very days, bayamim ahem bazman hazeh. That's the miracle. Not, we are not talking about history, what happened in the second temple, BC. We are talking what happened to us, and we are the children of our fathers. These are our fathers, and God had mercy with our fathers, not with their generation, with their fathers. So this little difference is very meaningful. God saved them from them and rescued them. But look what happened now. V'gavru b'nei chashmonaim ha-kohanim ha-gdolim. Now we see the chashmonaim as the high priest, and they killed them. They killed them. It was not God who did everything. You put a lot in the hand of a small minority. You brought that oskei Torahtecha, those who are studying the Torah, and the wicked people fell in their hands. No, the Hasmonean were fighting. They had an IDF. They had, as we will read in the Sefer HaMakabim, not in the Babylonian Talmud. Not a word about it. Not in Al Hanisim, not a word about it. In the book of the Hasmonaim, which is not included in the Talmudic collection, in the biblical canon, but the Rambam activates them, and he knows exactly what happened in this generation. And they killed the Hoshiu Yisrael Miyadam, and they saved them. God saved them, true. But who did the job? Who was on the battlefield? With God's help? The Hashmonaim. It is the IDF soldier. It is the Hashmonaim children. They were fighting, and some of them paid with their life. It's not a miracle. You did it. These are human beings. Rambam believes in human activity, and he points that out. It is God's miracle, but Hoshi'am Miyadam veHoshi'u Yisrael Miyadam. You see it here in the Hebrew text, one above the other, because they did the job. And the Malchut of the Kohanim, they're not supposed to be kings. Priests, the Rambam says clearly, we will not elaborate this issue. Rambam says clearly, the priests are not kings. Kings come only from the dynasty of King David. Back to Sefer Tehillim. Only King David, from there we can have priests. No, they did it. Whatever the halacha is, acknowledge them. And here we come to a further punchline. V'chazra malchut leYisrael yeter al 200 shanim ad hachurban hasheni. They appointed kings from the priests, which is not according to the halacha, and Israel's sovereignty was restored for a period of more than 200 years until the destruction of the Second Temple. Did the Babylonian Talmud talk about the destruction of the Second Temple some 230 years later? Did Al HaNisim talk about that? Al HaNisim was on the battlefield. The Bavli was with the priest, with the OU. The Rambam says, no, this historical change on the battlefield was a political independency which lasted for 200 plus years till the Churban. So what is he celebrating? Not the little oil, as the Babylonian, not the major success on the battlefield, the victory. He celebrates the history of 200 years of independence. That's his vision. That's a big mind. And now you can ask those who like Jewish history, who were the Hashmonaim? Who were the kings of Hashmonaim? They were not the greatest tzaddikim. They were not Rambam's, Maimonides' statures. Rambam says very clearly in his commentary on the Mishnah, at the beginning of Masechet Yomam, the Mishnah explains that the high priest, at the time of the Mishnah, the sages came and taught him what do they have to do the next day, Yom Kippur. Hello, you're the high priest, you don't know what is your job the next day? What's exactly your training? What's your background? Why were you elected to be a Kohen Gadol? So Maimonides writes in his commentary on the Mishnah, because those people, lo hayu holchim lefi ha-masoret ha-yashar. Those people, the kings, during these 200 years, they had no clue about Yiddishkeit. High priest, yes, question of money and politics and power. But did they know anything about what they had to do in the temple? Not a clue. Rambam knows it. At the age of 30, when he completed his Mishnah, he knew exactly who these kings were. Not Belze Chassidim. No scholars. Zero. Totally assimilated high priests. And he says the same in Masechet Sanhedrin. Ze malchei Yisrael bilvad lefi shehayu arvaryanim b'malchutam. And they have no respect for the Torah. Rambam was aware very, very, very well who these high priests were. zero respect for Jewish tradition. So why are you celebrating Chanukah? Stick to the oil. Stick to the battlefield. Stick to the Bavli with the oil, to the battlefield of Al HaNisim. Why are you talking? The real miracle is the 200 years. And here we understand Maimonides. If there is a historical change of the Jewish people, the diaspora or not diaspora, their kingdom, regardless what the religious level was, regardless what the ethical level was, it was Malchut Yisrael. It is the kingdom of the Jewish people. Don't talk for now what's the level of it. It is Jewish independency, which lasted from the kingdom, from the victory of Chashmonaim, up to the Churban. That's the miracle. That is the miracle we celebrate on Chanukah. We are very well aware, Rambam is very well aware, what the level of this kingdom is, the religious level. Zero. The high priest didn't know what he has, what his job is in the temple. So what does he know? Politics, money, and manipulation, he knows. That's it. But the Rambam says there is a miracle of Jewish independence, which began with the Hasmonaim kingdom and lasted to the destruction of the temple. This independence, regardless of the religious and ethical level, is a real miracle. That is Maimonides. You see the power, the dimension, the incredible insight in history. We celebrate a period which prevented the destruction of the temple in the time of the Hashmonaim, 130 before, and it's not destroyed. They were not successful to destroy the temple. It lasted for another 2 years on a terrible level, but it was Jewish independence. If you think about that, the Maimonides, which in itself, just to analyze the three texts, which I have to come to a conclusion here, to an end, that's the comparison of the three texts. Those who are interested, I will update my PowerPoint I wrote about Rambam as a physician, which I'm happy to share with you. But I want to show what is the power, the incredible message of Maimonides for Chanukah, which I wanted to point out. If you're in the exile, just stick to your little candlelight. Make sure it's a danger and they have a worship of the light and you have the worship of your candles of Chanukah. Just make sure you keep the Jewish tradition and the memory. You don't exactly remember what it was. I feel like the Maranos. I don't exactly know what it is. Something was there. My Chanukah, but we celebrate it. It can be very dangerous. You stick to your home, and the Sfat Emetzo says, make sure your table is strong. Not a lot of knowledge. Al HaNisim, wow. It's independence. It's an Israeli source. IDF is very successful, Baruch Hashem. This generation and now. The Rambam says it is the nature of Jewish history. Diaspora or Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, we live in Eretz Yisrael. If there are any easy questions, I'm happy to hear. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you very, very much, Rav Benny. I just want to start with a technical point before we forget. Do not end the lecture. You have to pass on being the host to Rav Menachem Liebtag, who's following. I don't know exactly when he's going to. We have to just pay attention. You're online? Okay, so Rav Benny, if you want to just give
host?
Liebtag the host, and then
Shalom, Rav Benny.
Such an honor to make you a host, because when I came to the yeshiva, you were my host. So you are my host.
Okay.
The meaning of, do you want to change the host to Menachem Liebtag?
I know.
Right. Okay, great. Okay, so now, Rav Benny, you have a couple of questions.
You can take questions. You can start, you can go as long as you want.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so there was an iPhone and an iPad who were putting in a lot of questions and comments. I'll just give you some of them, that during Chazal and Gemara times, housing was different. There was a common courtyard surrounded by the one or two story connected dwelling for convenience and safety. Does that affect how the interpretation of the table was? I assume that goes with that part of the shiur. Does that assume about where you would put your table at that time, or that was at different times? Is that, did I understand that correctly, that question?
So I didn't, I had a hard time to, you're reading the...
Okay, I'm reading from the chat. So during Chazal and Gemara times, housing was different. There was a common courtyard surrounded by the one or two story connected dwelling for convenience and safety. So how does that affect how they would have lit the Chanukiah?
So I think that's very interesting. That's a very interesting question. Thank you very much. I think... if you look at the medieval age, how the Christians were drawing Yerushalayim, these are exactly the cathedral buildings in Europe. So that is a projection. What they saw, there were no pictures online that you could go with Google Maps to other places or travel there. So I think that is a projection of what will happen later. What was there. And of course, when the Sfat Emet translate that to a different message, it takes a word, but it's a totally different reality. So I fully agree that how they were living, I don't know if one can really know. There is a lady who wrote a doctorate thesis about housing in the Babylonian and Eretz Yisrael reality. And I have to ask her. Her name is Kirschenbaum. She wrote a doctorate thesis about that. And I remember we spoke about that. I don't remember the details. The point is well taken.
Okay. There was a bit of a controversial question from iPad. So Rambam and others would or would not celebrate the modern state of Israel.
Sorry, say it again. Would?
Would Rambam and others celebrate or not celebrate the modern state of Israel?
So
if iPad is there, please.
So I think that is a very, very basic message, which I'm happy I didn't want to hide this message. And I grew up in a Haredi community in Switzerland, and Yom HaTzmaut was not an issue. And the Jewish independence was terrible because the Jews were not religious and they are not supporting the yeshivas. So I'm saying directly from the Rambam, it's clear and evident, clear as water. A kingdom, whatever it is a Jewish kingdom. And you never, ever blame it. It's part of the miracle. And the Rambam knows that you have to teach the priest, not the Rosh HaMemshalah. Yeah, not the politicians, the priest who is in charge of religious affairs. You have to teach him what's going to happen the next day on Yom Kippur. He has no clue because it's all packed from politics and manipulation and the lack of knowledge. But he celebrates that as the miracle. That is the celebration of the miracle, that the Hasmonim changed the period for over 200 years. Of course he would celebrate that. Nobody has the... nobody can tell what Rambam would have thought about the state of Israel. Unfortunately, he is not living with us. He would be a great chief rabbi or the head of the Knesset. But that's not the question. It is obvious, and that comes out so clearly from all the writings that I want to hold on. Could you please, Menachem, enable me to share my screen? Thank you. Okay, it doesn't work. It's on the first slide of my presentation, Blitzstein's work. If you enter Gerald Jakob Blitzstein, you will find his writings, and it's very clear that all his concept of Jewish Malchut, of independency, is the main message of the book, and Rambam was totally clear about that. Okay. So it's good that time is over. Otherwise, we will go into politics. We don't want that.
Okay. So I just want to end off. Mayor Bruckenheimer, I think he just left. Oh, no, he's still there. Mayor, you had a very good question to discuss in a future Hanukkah class, the various methods that are mentioned in the Talmud about the number of candles lit each night, For me, it's eye-opening as to the time that is spent on this topic. Even in the holidays, you do not find so many ways. My conclusion is that the Rabbanim needed to play up the miracle and its importance, since the people were not as convinced about the greatness and importance of the miracles, victories, and finding the oil. What is your opinion? That's what
Maya wrote.
I think we can give 2 minutes to that, and then I think we'll have to...
Okay, I will keep it very short. There is a song in Israel of the Nesach HaShmoneim. I will not sing it for 2 reasons. It would leave a very bad impression on the lecture, both for musical reasons and the topic. Nes lo hayasham, nes lo karalam, no miracle happens. So one of these Israeli songs, they don't want to talk about the miracle of the oil. What is the miracle? Something else. So they had a hard time to identify the miracle with the oil. But the Talmudic mind, they discussed what's exactly the miracle. If one day it was found, it was for 8 days, did they split it to 8 pieces, or was another part of the miracle, and did they light it this way or the other? It's the Talmudic mind who finds miracles. That's very interesting, because the Rambam was, as usually, clear and solid and to the point. It's the historical change, which is not a rabbinic source. But that is Rambam's historical understanding. I want to add on that, in one of his letters to Teiman, he says how terrible if you are forced to convert to Islam, you have to leave it. That's what his father wrote in his Igeret HaNechama. And he was very clear that these terrible situations, you have to run away. But in his Hilchot Melachim, at the very end, a piece in Maimonides' writing, which were not published over the centuries till Rav Kappach found them, he said, oh, Christianity, they're wonderful. Islam, terrific. They bring the knowledge of monotheism to the world. So David Hartman, Professor Hartman, says, hey, it's a contradiction, Rambam. Don't you read your own writings? Of course he did. But when he talks to a community, he says, don't give up, run away. You have to run away from the Christians, move. From the Islam, run away. So he knows how much suffering there is. But in his beautiful view of what history is and what God leadership, what God plans is, they will actually bring monotheism. And he calls them Yeshu HaNotzri. And he calls Muhammad V'gamze HaYishmaeli. And also the other guy, the Yishmael child. He doesn't dare to call him Muhammad, that would be a suicide. So Rambam had amazing awareness of history to read it in a very, very broad concept. Chanukah is a 200 years of Jewish independency, whatever the level is. That was the last line.
Okay, thank you very, very much. I'm going to just add your email. So if people, because we didn't get to all the questions, and I do apologize to Gershon Heppner because he had a few good comments and I didn't get to his. So anyway, if people still have questions, please feel free to email you. I'm just going to put that in the chat right now. And thank you very much. We're looking forward to seeing everybody next week, Bezrat Hashem, on Hanukkah.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Audrey. Thank you, Ruth. And thanks, everybody, for your attention. Hanukkah Sameach.
Take care, Benny.
Thank you, Rabbi, for being my host.
Okay. I'm the new host. Okay. How's my sound? Someone give me a... I'm not in my regular home place.
It's a little muffled. Okay? It's muffled? A little muffled.
Okay, I'm going to try something else real fast. Tell me if it's better. One second. Let me try this.
Just 1 second. Okay. And how's this sound? Testing 1, 2. 1 second. I don't hear you. 1 second. I have to switch my speaker. Okay. Testing. testing 1, 2. Anyone hear me?
Better.
You hear me?
Better.
Okay, 1 second. So the sound's better. Let me get to better.
Better.
For a second. Say something now.
Better.
Okay, better. Good. Okay, that's for my microphone now. And let me make sure the... So that's better than before, right?
Yes, better than before.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so I put my earphones away. I'm actually today, but let me turn off the recording. We'll restart it in a minute. Put this up to close. And where are we? Let's see. I'll stop recording. Remind me to put it back on when we